This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So with Gene and Chris, we're back on the Paracast, and in a few moments we'll be joined by three guests for a Women in Ufology Roundtable, focusing, of course, on contributions of women, why more women aren't involved in the field, at least publicly. I mean, when you look at the listings of guests for the UFO conventions, you know, we can be like the Academy Awards last year, white and male. So we'll see what happens there. By the way, before we even get into that, and this is going to be really a fascinating episode, I wanted to mention the appearance last week of Jim Mars and the response we had from listeners to it. Now, I guess if you're wondering why he was pushing this old book from L. Ron Hubbard, Battlefield Earth, it's because the PR people from the publisher sent Jim to us. So, you know, they gave a little announcement. No big deal unless, you know, you don't like the book or you realize it's a publisher connected with Scientology and you don't like that, but we never talked about that. What I think upset a few people, like half the messages in response to the Mars appearance were not so much about his conspiracy theories, it was about his political beliefs, which was what? We kind of shut him down after about 2 minutes, Chris?
Well, I don't even think we went long enough for us to really determine much of anything. As soon as I felt it going in a direction that might be, I don't know, make some of our listeners squirm, I did kind of shut it down. I felt there was way too much material that we could talk about from his work. We didn't even scratch the surface, really. We spent way too much time on Kennedy, as far as I'm concerned. Some of his books were quite influential, I think, in many people's minds in terms of the field actually having writers who slumming, I guess would be the word. But Jim Mars is one of the more talented researchers and writers who have stooped down to the great unwashed masses and graced us with his presence in terms of his writing skill and his abilities. I look up to the man. I've read many of his books in a number of genres, all conspiracy, obviously, because that's kind of where he hangs his hat. You know, I really feel that we need more writers like Jim Mars, like the quality of a writing of a Whitley Strieber. There just aren't enough. One of the reasons why I think the mainstream doesn't take it seriously is because the quality of writing is really not where it needs to be. Unfortunately, we're going into an age of sound bites. So writing quality, what's writing quality? For instance, in rock and roll, I've been a big fan of rock and roll criticism. Rock critics all the way back into the 60s when I was a kid. And, of course, my many times I profess my admiration for writers such as Hunter Thompson, you know, and some of the offshoots, the second generation of beat writers. We need more people that are irreverent, that are willing to turn a phrase and coin terms and that sort of thing. It's too boring. It's too staid. It's too, you know, predictable. You know, this old paradigm in terms of writing style is just not going to inspire any of the kids in this day and age. Again, I really admire Jim for slumming with some of us, and I aspire to a level of writing that's a little bit more cutting edge, a little bit more edgy, and I think Jim, if he brought that kind of edginess to his actual writing style, I think he'd be even better. But you just can't knock the guy for trying. And you know, anybody that thinks that there was a problem with the episode because he was pumping Battlefield Earth, which I felt was kind of weird. I tried to point out to him it's on many people's critics' worst movie of all time list. He said, well, yeah, but the audiobook is really good. And it's like, I'm not going to listen to 40 hours of Battlefield Earth stuff. I mean, people just don't do that anymore unless they're in serious need of a life, Gene.
You know, the thing here is that we shouldn't judge the validity of his arguments because he has one political viewpoint or another. And based on what he said there and based on a private email I had with him afterwards, yes, he obviously is very conservative in his political views. It doesn't matter. That's not what's going to make the solution to the Kennedy assassination any different, or 9/11 or UFOs or disclosure, anything that you can attach something conspiratorial to. It doesn't matter what his political beliefs are. He started in life as a working journalist and worked in that business for a long time. And if we look at what he says and the facts and forget whether a guy is liberal or conservative, I think that's the point. We should look at that. I mean, I have the same viewpoint when people get a little upset because someone in show business is conservative. John Voight's conservative, and Tom Hanks is liberal or something. Who cares? There are people who are citizens of the United States. They have a right to...
They're entertainers.
They're entertainers.
Cut everybody some slack.
Right. I mean, we should worry about the fact that their films, are whether they're good or bad. That's what we worry about. We're not paying to hear their politics. If they want to express it, they have the right like any other citizen. But when it comes to what they do for a living, they entertain us. Who cares what their politics are? Why should we worry about it? Don't watch Ray Donovan on TV because John Voight's a conservative. What about the others who are not? We can't have that kind of thing. I think people are just entitled to believe what they believe. I mean, if we focus on our subjects, which is UFOs and everything and Bigfoot and all these subjects, doesn't matter what the politics are, unless it impacts it, you know, like government secrecy or something.
Well, you know, again, I think this is a good, you know, kind of a lead into today's show. I remember talking with Erica Lukes several months ago about problems that she has had in the field of ufology and being, number one, taken seriously, number two, not tokenized and made into some sort of object by people, you know, in private, people in the field. I find that horrific. And the very idea that women can make highly effective and in some cases way more effective investigators out in the field than men, for the rank and file, the mainstream of the good old boys in ufology, I mean, that's blasphemy. However, I think today's segment is going to show how the culture is changing, and I really feel that we need to use all the tools in our toolkits as investigators, and we need to maximize our potential, and that means I think assigning responsibilities more so to women, especially in areas where women just seem to have do a better job in many ways than men can do. And I've seen it firsthand. I've worked with men in the field, and I've worked with women in the field. And I can say almost every instance, with one or two exceptions, the women have come through actually being more effective, being more, putting experiencers and putting witnesses, I think, at ease quick in a quicker manner, and also I think in a more effective manner that elicits opening up and details coming out of experiences that maybe a man couldn't get. And of course, this is all subjective in terms of my own opinion, but I think today we're going to really no one's ever done this before, Gene. This is the first time we've had a round table of women discussing women's role in paranormal research and the problems and the pratfalls and some of the things that we need to really discuss and look at, I think, in depth. And this is, I think this is hopefully going to be a clarion call for everybody else to, start to adjust their thinking when it comes to gender specific investigators. And let's bring it on. Here, let me play my Working with Rhinos video, which I've played a number of times on the show.
I don't have time now. I'm over time. Can we do it at the beginning of the next one? with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey,
Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
There we go.
I don't know what to say.
It's baby rhinos that are hungry. They need milk, and they need it fast.
Okay. Announce our guests for us, Chris.
Well, I mentioned Erica Lutz. former state director MUFON, and I think a really fun, inspiring a woman for others looking to get into the field, both male and female. Very serious attitude, has all the skills needed to be a good investigator like she is. And she's run into problems over the years during her emerging career, if you want to call it that, of an investigator. Of course, Kathleen Martin is the niece of Betty Hill, one of the first female figures, really, in the history of ufology, when you think about it, going all the way back to 62 and the Hill abduction in New Hampshire. Kathleen's a niece. She's been in the field for at least a decade, if not longer. She's written a number of books. She's in charge of MUFON's induction research. And then we have Chase Klotzy, who I met a number of years ago in Minneapolis at a conference. I was very struck by her dedication, her seriousness about getting to the bottom of these mysteries. She's also become a radio personality, as has Erica, with their own shows. Chase is involved in very heavily with MUFON. She's one of the chief, I think she's in charge of investigations, or one of the ones in charge. We'll have to get a little clarity on that. But I think that these three ladies are real good examples to bring to a round table to discuss issues surrounding women's role in ufology, problems that we've had up to this point, possible ways to work around that, how women and men can be best utilized in investigations and in research. I think Kathleen has done a marvelous job working with abductees. She's definitely the go-to person, I think, in my mind, for anyone who's wants to explore experiences that they've had that they really need to get a handle on. I've recommended a number of people to her, in fact, recently. So I think Chase, Erica, Kathleen are three women that can really help us out a lot in really gauging, you know, the next phase of ufology and how we can best marshal our assets and really maximize our potential. It can't be gender specific. It can't be the good old boys network anymore. Things have got to change.
You know, Erica, since you kind of got us started on this.
First of all, I want to thank you and Chris for having this roundtable. I think this is important, especially as we try to encourage a younger generation to become active in this field. And I know that there are some very serious issues that do need to be addressed with women in this field. And Kathleen probably knows better than anyone about the hardships that women have faced over the decades. And I believe that she will have some good input for all of us to engage a younger generation, specifically women.
Kathleen.
Yes.
There you are. Good to see you again. I think I saw you like, what was it, a week or so ago at the International UFO Conference. You were sitting next to Stanton Friedman.
Yes, and I saw you walk by briefly.
It was a brief trip because I was dead tired.
Yes.
So I just kind of waved my way. Now, you were mentioning to me there was a site that you saw, was it a Wikipedia site, that listed the contribution of women in ufology over the years. And, of course, one of the people prominently mentioned is the woman who was one of the directors of the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, AFRO, Coral Lorenzen.
Yes.
Now, before we get started about Coral Lorenzen, I have a story about her that isn't very pleasant.
Uh-oh.
We're going to be fair, okay? Now, I was really young, young whippersnapper, and I put out a rather nice-looking UFO magazine, I thought, called UFO Reporter, which is not an exclusive name with us, but it has been used a couple of times. And we ran a story about the Sicaro, New Mexico case. And what we did is we summarized the Lorenzen's report in Fate magazine. But, of course, being that it was fair use, we didn't quote much. We paraphrased it, you know, normal journalistic, I hope, coverage. She took umbrage on it, feeling that we published too much of that material and therefore asked me to give her $100 to cover her costs. And we had an exchange of letters, snail mail. This is, of course, the 1960s, back and forth. And I kind of said, are you serious? Never heard from her again. Okay. 10 years later, I don't know to the day or not. 10 years later, I meet her at a UFO convention in Arkansas, I believe. And she still remembered, and she still held a grudge against me. Oh, you're that guy who ran that story about Sicario. She wouldn't give it a rest. So she may have done some pretty great things in ufology, but she could be a little crusty. Just saying.
Yes, and I know that she would be terribly upset when people ran stories that were not entirely accurate. And I'm not talking about yours. I haven't seen yours. But I did read a little bit about the Sicario investigation that she was very heavily involved in. And she did make the comment that somebody had written an article and had made, I believe it was 6 mistakes in whatever it was. It might have been somebody else in the field and not you, but she was a person who was a stickler for accuracy. And that's a good thing to be. She was a highly intelligent woman. She was the author of several books on UFOs, the person who started the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. She started out in Wisconsin, and then she and her husband, who was also the co-director of APRO, had a job in Arizona. And so they ended up settling in Tucson, Arizona. And this is how she came to know Dr. James McDonald, the late, great Dr. James McDonald, who was a physicist and probably the finest professional who ever lived with regard to the investigation of UFOs from a scientific standpoint. I have a great deal of respect for him and for Coral Lorenzen as well, because she was a strong woman. Early in our time, in our UFO times, when women were often at home and took a secondary role, and even intelligent women, highly intelligent and educated women, were housewives.
Chase Kletsky, Erica Lukes, Kathleen Martin with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an indie hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each indie hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indie hammered knives. Custom knives. Made in America.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Our Women's Roundtable episode of the Paracast with Chase and Erica and Kathleen. Just to point out here, as I said, Carl Lorenzen's objection was not about the factual content. She never corrected anything. I think she felt maybe we used too many quotes or too much of her material. I don't know. It just seemed to be kind of ridiculous because we're in a situation here where we hope that the information is shared among the UFO community and the work they did. I always had a close relationship with the people from Fate magazine, the Fullers, so I don't know what really got her upset there. But it wasn't about the factual accuracy. If she pointed out something that was wrong, I would have been happy to correct it.
Let me make one more statement, and that is that as long as you keep the use of someone else's material within copyright law, and there are specific copyright laws on the amount of information you can use, and you footnote it, and you give references, then there should not be a problem.
Well, I think we followed fair use. I was studying journalism in school, and I think we copied fair use. It was a short piece. Most of it was my words, and I think we may have carried a few quotes. Unfortunately, as some people know, fair use is a gray area. But fair use could mean a sentence here, a paragraph there. It doesn't mean copying extensive portions like a certain book in the political realm where somebody wrote a best-selling book or something, and they found out that they had plagiarized a large portion of it. That book was withdrawn. You know, I understand that, but no, I see your point there. Chase, welcome back to the Paracast.
It's so great to be with you guys. Hi, Chris.
Chase, welcome back. Happy spring. I'm sitting here basking in a beautiful spring day here in Arizona. We're up in the low 70s. It's global warming at its finest.
Absolutely. We've had 70s, 80s the entire winter. I should complain, but I'm not going to.
Wow. Oh, that's fabulous.
What part of the country is that?
South Georgia.
But you're right near Florida, right?
I am. On the East Coast, so it's a weather pattern that comes, you know, straight up the Atlantic Ocean. So we mirror what Orlando's getting, not necessarily Atlanta, which is, you know, 6.5 hours away. They can be having snow. We're still basking in 75.
Well, that's nice, at least. Now, in your experience working with MUFON, getting on with a pretty high position, did you find it more difficult as a woman to gain acceptance as a skilled, experienced UFO investigator?
Well, I've been with MUFON for quite some time, and I think most people forget that I did take a little break. I was with them for 18 years, and I was a field investigator. So it wasn't until 2010 where I was given a shot for any kind of position other than that. And it was awesome because MUFON had just put out an announcement that they were looking to revise the STAR Team program after Bigelow had left. You know, anybody, you know, a one-page summary of what your skills are and what you would bring to the position. Not thinking I had a chance in Hades. I filled that out and submitted it. A couple months later, it was Chuck Reaver, who was director of investigations at the time, called me on a Sunday morning and asked me if I would accept that position. I almost forgot I filled it out. I mean, I honestly had no confidence whatsoever I was going to get this position. But it was a way to put my name in the arena and start breaking out of just, you know, the FI local status. I picked up the phone. He was surprised, and he said, you know, excuse me for a moment, Chase, because I guess the one thing we didn't realize from your resume was that you were a woman. And I'm very proud of that because with the name Chase Plessy, I have to be honest.
I'm sure you just let that one go right on by, right?
I'm really
surprise,
proud.
Surprise. Here I am.
Smack. Let me tell you what he said. He said, even better. I was very proud of that because I got that position fair and square. It wasn't that they needed a woman to fill a leadership position. It was based solely on my skill set. Very, very proud of that, actually.
Maybe there's hope for MUFON.
Right? Since I've been back after a little break, you know, I've experienced, honestly and sincerely, nothing but respect and favor. Truthfully, I'm very happy to be back.
Oh, that's great to hear, because your experience has not been shared with everybody, including some individuals that have contacted me over the years that have felt that women weren't taken as seriously within the organization as they should be. And it's really gratifying to hear that that at least on some level, in your case, that wasn't the case. That's actually a good thing.
Yeah, it really wasn't the case. And, you know, like I said, most of my experience was at an FI level, so I had zero accessibility. I don't think I ever once called headquarters, never. It was really when I became STAR Team manager, you know, that I got thrusted into a headquarters or a leadership position. Truthfully, I loved my job. I thought it was the greatest job. The only problems I had to move on were with women. And that was, at the time, the director of investigation was Marie Malzahn. If you guys remember, there was a small period of time, about 45 days, that 9 women in leadership positions were fired from MUFON. Then, of course, I left shortly after that. And it all surrounded the director of investigations at that time.
Well, you bring up a very interesting episode that I never really did fully get to the kind of the foundational core of this whole controversy, but why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch, and then we'll get Kathleen and Erica's take on this particular episode. But how would I encapsulate this? Almost a breakaway movement within MUFON. There were a lot of ladies involved in this, if I remember correctly. Elaine Douglas, of course, was one of the lead people. Lynn Simpson, there were a number. But why don't you give us a sense of what the incident was about and what this movement was about and how it started?
Basically, you know, as STAR Team manager, we would get these alerts when we get Category 3 or, you know, cases that we should deploy. And a really great case had come into the state of Washington, and I was alerted right away. Well, there was
a suspicion that some of the STAR team cases were being, you know, they were sabotaged almost because other investigators from other groups were getting there beforehand and we didn't understand. And, you know, but anyway, so we get this case and out of the blue, I get a call from one of the men in MUFON who is very upset because the GPS coordinates are off the case. And I explained to him that, yes, that this is something we're going to be doing until the STAR team investigators can be on scene, secure, you know, evidence and the witness, and then all that information goes right back in. In fact, I'm not even the one that personally removes it. And, you know, he just started screaming at me, screaming, you give me those GPS coordinates. Well, you know, it was a brutal phone call, very bully. And, of course, I reported it immediately to the DOI. And it was really the lack of inaction and, you know, betrayal, basically, of MUFON policy, the betrayal of rules and regulations and a program that had been approved by the board of directors by this woman, you know, in this leadership position, which is why I left. I didn't leave because, you know, some, you know, old guy yelled at me on the phone. It was the way the process of this situation was handled, and it couldn't have been more in my face. And this was at the same time that, you know, a lot of these women were being fired. And I am talking about Elaine Douglas and Marilyn Carlson and, you know, Christine Dickey and Leslie Barnacle. There's a whole bunch of them, but there were like nine.
Well, yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, though, Chase. We need to talk about why they even kind of went to the mat to begin with.
We have Erica, Chase, and Kathleen with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
This is
is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're doing the Women's Roundtable on the Paracast with Erica, Chase, and Chris, and Jean, and Kathleen. We've got 5 people here vying for attention. No, that's just me. Because I feel ignored. I'm kidding. Chris?
We're talking about accountability issues in terms of MUFON, the relationship with Bigelow and Bigelow Aerospace, the actual flow of cases, where they went, who got them, what decision-making process ensued, whether some cases were actually squirreled away by Bigelow, and MUFON was totally taken out of the equation because of Bigelow's financial relationship with MUFON. You're skipping over a lot of stuff, Chase.
Well, it's because it's a time frame, and I thought you wanted to, you know, hear about why I left. And as far as most of that goes, that was things that we were looking into at the time, and state directors were calling us inquiring about some of this information. But I had left. I quit. So I wasn't part of the solution that, of course, ensued after. And part of that was, you know, Marie being dismissed as well. So a lot of those answers I don't have for you, Chris. What I can tell you is completely ignored, you know, anything I had to say. I was completely betrayed by this woman turning around and giving this guy a GPS coordinate who wasn't even close to the state. He wasn't going to help with the case. He never said, hey, is there something I can do? You know, why did he need that GPS coordinate? And it was Marie Malzahn that said, because Bigelow can move his satellites. And I was horrified by that comment because as somebody that had been a MUFON for 18 years, I knew this was a rogue betrayal. This was not how MUFON operated. You know, I had been in for 18 years. You know, I've never seen anything like it. So I, to this day, maintain that, you know, there was just a couple of people that had different agendas than MUFON at the time. But MUFON is still a very credible, respectable entity out there that's still one of the few groups still, you know, thriving since 1969.
And first of all, just to clarify, you're still with MUFON now?
I left for 4 years, and it was actually at a conference in Laughlin that Jan Harzan approached me and asked if we could go to lunch. And I had absolutely no intentions of ever going back to MUFON. And to be quite honest with you, I was not going to like Jan Harzan, and I certainly wasn't going to respect him, let alone trust him. And I went to lunch, and I'm a tough old cookie. By the end of this, I was considering taking a position that he had offered with a special assignment team that we only report to him, the DOI now, which is Steve Hudgens and the board of directors. So I did finally go back, but this was months and months, guys. This was like 4 months later. I finally said, okay, I'll come back. It was a lot of working out some issues and things that really came down to, for me personally, Marie Malzahn. Now, I want to be very clear about one thing. In those 18 years, I never had a single problem in Buffon, and I haven't since. It was that one huge time that everything just came at me at one. It just all culminated in one place. And it was very clear that this woman in this leadership position, for some reason, was getting rid of women who were strong and strong-minded and experienced. And we were crumbling one after another.
That sounds wacky. Erica, your experience at MUFON wasn't super pleasant. What do you have to say about that?
It wasn't. And I think that I've met a lot of wonderful people who I will always be friends with and always support. And there are a lot of good people that are state directors and field investigators involved with MUFON. Do I think that MUFON needs to seriously look at their professional standards and ethics and the way they enforce them? I do. Do I think that they need to take a good look at people who are representing MUFON, who are abusive and bully, have that bully mentality? Absolutely. I mean, as a woman, as a state director, as somebody who was volunteering 30 plus hours a week in an organization and making some good headway, I mean, I most definitely experienced things that I wouldn't wish on another woman in the field. And so, you know, I mean, that's why I've been kind of taking a role where I want to talk out about this, because it's happening. And for whatever reason, MUFON headquarters kind of chose to turn a blind eye to what was happening or whatever, you know. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't pleasant. And I, like I said, I wish all of my friends who are intelligent, brilliant people who deserve to be supported and respected, I wish them the best. And for me, leaving MUFON has been a very positive experience.
Now, would you be specific about a few of the things that kind of really upset you here? Because that would set the stage for our two other guests to respond.
You know, I think that I've talked to Kathleen about this. She's been supportive as a woman and a respectable person in the field. There were just a series of events that happened, and I went in and took on not only trying to regroup a chapter that was in complete disarray because Elaine Douglas had passed away, and people here in Utah were very, very leery of MUFON. They didn't want anything to do with it, including Marlee Spendlove, who was also assistant state director for MUFON. And so I had to try to rally the troops to get people engaged again. And then I also worked directly under Jan Harzan, and I would send out the monthly statistical email blasts as well as the e-journal blasts. And I was attempting to work with headquarters on marketing, because I, being in business, having a successful small business for the past 20 years, you know, there are things that I know and can bring to the table. I was trying to help headquarters kind of move in a fresh approach where we're engaging the younger generation. And then I also did a lot of stuff behind the scenes for the communications department with regard to to Hangar One. And so I purchased software, got the episodes before they were aired and interviewed and edited those interviews for publicity for MUFON headquarters, as well as many other things. And luckily, I still have all of those emails back and forth between Roger and Jan and myself. So I know what I did. And it became evident towards the end that there were a couple people involved in MUFON that were didn't have the same mindset, and there were a series of things that happened towards the end, which I won't go into in too much detail because I already discussed them on Lorraine Fenton's show. But it was a situation that was severe enough that I resigned, and my assistant state director also resigned. And now we have a situation where we don't have a Utah chapter, an effective Utah chapter anymore, which is unfortunate because there's so many great things that are taking place in Utah. And it's I hope that at some point in time, Utah will be represented with a good, strong chapter here.
Kathleen.
Yes.
What's your response to some of this?
Well, I have to say, first of all, that I have been a MUFON member since 1991. For 10 years, I was MUFON's director of field investigator training. I am a person who does not become personally involved in these struggles. I am a very serious researcher, and I am highly focused upon the work that I am doing to move ahead, to accomplish things, and I don't want to waste my time on internal struggles. That said, when internal struggles have occurred, I have simply stepped away and have not been involved in those. I don't like politics in organizations. I realize that there are some dysfunctional people in MUFON. There are dysfunctional people everywhere, in organizations, in families, in the general public. And it is something that has caused some people to be harmed, to be hurt through malicious gossip, which is, I think, part of what has happened to Erica. And it is unfortunate. I'm currently MUFON's director of experiencer research, have been for about 6 years now, I think.
Let's pick up on this in the next segment with Kathleen and Erica and Chase and Jean and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.